Kamenetsky Brothers Land O'Lakers podcast. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, co-host of the Land O'Lakers vlog, coming to you Thursday, one morning after the Lakers lose game two, 102-91 to the San Antonio Spurs.
You wish that was all they lost.
Yeah, over there in the San Antone. The one thing we do know today, Andy, the Lakers have absolutely met their deductible for the HMO or whatever it is that they do. They have met their out-of-pocket minimum for the year. Everyone is hurt. The Lakers have become 15 Spinal Tap drummers. They're all just dropping like flies.
When our president, Barack Obama, put out the Affordable Care Act and wanted to make sure that everybody could, you know, see the doctor of their choice, get the quality of care that they want, and no pre-existing conditions, this was not what he had in mind.
The last part's going to be a big deal.
He's looking at this where the Lakers going, you know, right now just saying, did I maybe, you know, overstep
my... This is going to cost us a lot of money. This is really going to be expensive.
We are never going to get out of debt as a nation.
There's nothing affordable about this care.
As long as the Lakers remain a team.
If you haven't seen the news, and I'm pretty sure by now you have, Thursday afternoon the Lakers updated their injury status, their constantly evolving injury status. Generalissimo Franco is still dead. Steve Blake, who pulled a hamstring late in Wednesday's game with about 6 minutes left, he did not return. He is considered out indefinitely. He had an ultrasound today, which confirmed a strain of his right hamstring. Steve Nash received two epidural injections in his back on Thursday, also received a cortisone shot in his right hip. His status for tomorrow's game is doubtful. He is, though, fully dilated and ready to deliver.
He has a dynamite OBGYN, that Steve Nash.
Jody Meeks will have an MRI, who did not play on Wednesday night, will have an MRI this afternoon on his sprained left ankle. But his status for Friday's game is also considered doubtful. So the Lakers don't have enough good players to compete in the series.
They don't have enough players at this point.
That's true.
Forget good. They don't have enough bodies at this point, because you know Ebanks still won't be active. He's still not going
Coach,
to be
Coach, I'm ready to... No, you're fine. My team is on the floor.
Did you not get the hint, Devin, when we didn't pick up the tab for your hotel room in San Antonio?
Yeah, you go sit in the basement with your red swing line or whatever it is. You are not playing in the game. Like I said, my
He's
team
on a
is on
watch
the floor.
List inside Staples.
If you see this man, please alert the local authorities. He is. You may see him in the locker room. Please do not talk
to him. He pretends that he is a member of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I've said it before, Andy, and I've said it again. I think his status for next season is very much in question.
Although, I got to say, though, from Devin's perspective, do you even want to be active? Because it seems like everybody that Mike D'Antoni puts on the floor gets hurt.
The safest place to be if you're a Laker is really far away.
Oh, you want to be. Actually, in a lot of ways, D'Antoni has done Devin a huge, huge service by putting him in his doghouse and never letting him out. Because Devin's the only guy on this team, basically, who spent any time around D'Antoni and is still healthy. I was wondering last night, maybe if... In reality, D'Antoni really likes Devin. And he's been like, you
it's
know what, 10 or 15 years, you're going to understand exactly why
After
I didn't even let you
long,
put a uni on.
A fruitful, injury-free career, why I did what I did for you.
You're going to thank me.
It's kind of funny because, I mean, look, the Lakers were in bad shape before Kobe got hurt in any playoff series. Or they were in really bad shape after Kobe got hurt. They were in tremendously bad shape after what happened in game one. And now it just keeps getting worse.
Great tweet from our, I guess, Twitter friend network. Hilarious guy. You should be following him. NETW3RK. Steve Blake having ultrasounds. Steve Nash getting epidurals. Lakers point guards pregnant with symbolism.
It is kind of funny.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah. Great follow on Twitter. But like, if you, under different circumstances, if you watched the game and you see, I mean, Pau Gasol after the game, when he said, you know, we're, you know, killing ourselves out there to try.
I'm starting to think the Lakers won't win a title this season.
That is fair to say. He said, you know, we're kind of, we're going to kill ourselves to to compete and do all these other things. He meant it metaphorically, but you started to wonder if, like, that's really what was happening on a literal level. And under different circumstances, you could appreciate how hard these guys are working in something that deep down in the back of their minds, all confident platitudes aside or whatever, they know that this is not going to have a good ending.
It's Lamar Odom and Luke Walton in 2007, you know, playing with really bad injuries against the Suns in a series they had absolutely no chance of winning, and they were bounced in five. I remember Kobe, during his exit interview, went out of his way to praise and thank Lamar and Luke for playing the way that they did. And you could look at them and say, you know what? That was really selfless in a situation that you knew they were cooked.
It's like, this is, and we've kind of touched on this throughout the season, but, you know, this is the sort of commitment that, not the execution, not the results, but the sort of commitment and buy-in that they, if they had had all year long, we might be having a different conversation. You know, if the injuries had played out differently and all that, but
at a morgue,
it would be, I think Laker fans could appreciate what this group of guys is trying to do. The fact that Nash, clearly not healthy, potentially even putting the next, who knows, guy with nerve problems, 39 years old. And I was talking to a doctor the other day. It's like, this is bad news. And this is not a good thing for Steve Nash, not an easy recovery. Comes back long before he's healthy to try to play through it. You would admire it more if the context of the season was different and it wasn't so anger inducing.
It's been, we were asked by our friend Ray Miralde, who runs the No Look Pass, that blog, to describe the season in a word. And for me, it's just been frustrating. This is the most frustrating season I've ever watched. And I thought I would be saying the exact same thing about the last two that the Lakers have played, but this has just been brutal. This has been like Chinese water torture on 50. It's just been awful.
Yeah, and it's a very obviously only going to get worse from here, and it is not going to have a happy
ending.
Actually,
no, it is not going to get worse. It's going to get better because it will end.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, this news, no Nash, no Blake, probably no Meeks, does mean that it's more likely that the series ends this weekend. Certainly, it's not going to go past five games if it goes past four, which is probably the merciful thing to have happen. We had this discussion before as to whether or not the Lakers would even be just be better off not making the playoffs. Like, as a fan, were you being selfish, wanting them to make the playoffs because really all you're doing is extending their suffering? And this, by the way, was before Kobe got
right.
hurt.
It reminded me of when my mother-in-law could not put down her dog that so clearly was ready to go. It could barely walk. It had hip problems. It couldn't see. It was literally in a diaper, this dog, and she couldn't bring herself to do it.
Brutal.
And really, she was letting that dog live for her,
right,
and not for the dog. Laker fans, I think, for a lot of this season, the ones really wanting to see, you know, the next season, you know, where it all starts over again in the postseason, we've seen how that goes this season. They've restarted like 10 times.
You were a little conflicted.
I was conflicted.
You weren't sure what you wanted.
I was conflicted, but ultimately what I said was, I don't think I want to see it. I don't want to see this continue any further. And I've known all year that the basketball gods hate this team, Brian.
Yeah.
They hate them. Because if they really liked them, they would have had the season end in mid-April. They wouldn't have let this continue and let more guys get hurt.
Yeah. So
this is a vengeful god, Brian.
The Lakers really did some things wrong here. I don't know exactly what it was that they did to screw, you know, to tick off the basketball gods, but they clearly did it.
Two words, collection plate.
I don't get it.
They didn't contribute.
Okay. I don't get it. All they do is rake in money. So, I mean, it's very clear that the Lakers are not as good as the Spurs, even when they have everyone, and it's only going to go downhill from here. It really leads then to the big news that's sort of left to talk about. We're almost getting to the post-mortem aspect of it while the
we're in the mortem.
We're in the middle of the mortem part. While they're morteming. But the other big news, because everything now is really just a question of Mike D'Antoni stays or goes. The news this week, along those lines, Mike Brown, who you may remember as the guy fired five games into this regular season, was rehired.
Doesn't that feel like a billion years ago?
Like it's like Mike Brown almost feels like Randy Fund. He's like that far back in the rearview mirror.
Yeah,
so many things have happened.
Like ultimately,
well, he is two coaches ago, Andy.
You know, ultimately, the real problem with Mike Brown is he and Sed Zabalas just could not get on the same page.
Why couldn't Norm Nixon work it out with Mike Brown?
Mike Brown and Nick Van Exel are just two different personalities.
It feels like a billion years ago. He had West, he had Baylor. I don't understand why Mike Brown couldn't make that team successful.
You know what,
at some point, you just have to say, you know what, you have enough talent, and then you have a bad preseason, and you're done.
From the minute he and Mikan were introduced, the two of them just were on different pages.
I know he had a good relationship with James Naismith, when you have to take the ladder to the peach basket, shouldn't somebody have thought of cut a hole in the bottom? We'll speed this along a little bit.
Yeah. So Mike Brown is now the coach of Cleveland.
Saying I took that to its logical conclusion?
Exactly.
And it's got Lakers fans foaming at the mouth like rabid dogs because it means that the Lakers will save some money.
I saw one report that estimated they thought $3 to $4 million.
Yeah, I've seen up to like 7 of the 11 million they own, but they'll save some money, which theoretically makes it easier to fire Mike D'Antoni because now you don't have, you know,
assuming Mike D'Antoni keeps showing up to work, because if I were him, I would just skip town. There's no real upside anymore in showing up.
Can you imagine what it's like for D'Antoni to go like, I gotta take a quick grocery run here. Yeah, honey, why don't you go? Or, you know, Pink Dot. I'm not going out of the house. He's just not a popular man around town.
He'd have to shave his mustache.
Then he wouldn't like the Pringles guy anymore. He's lost his whole marketing campaign. And, of course, the big reason that people are excited about this possibility because it's one more avenue to fire Mike D'Antoni and bring back Phil Jackson because Phil turned down the Cleveland offer. My position on Phil is the same as it was before. If they could have figured out whether or not Phil was committed at the beginning of the season, and if they felt comfortable with it, they would have been better off hiring Phil than D'Antoni. Knowing that was hard, but what they shouldn't have done is what they did, which is dangle it out there, you know, give him till Monday, panic that he might take the job and hire Mike D'Antoni instead. I just don't think at this point it makes sense even to bring him. I don't see how the math works and how you make everything line up to make Phil Jackson a sensible coaching choice for next season.
I'll take it one step further. If I'm Phil, what's the appeal? What everyone keeps bringing this up. All right, you know, all Jim Buss needs to do is just man up, admit a mistake, correct it, offer the job, Phil's back, instant title. If I'm Phil, seriously, what is the appeal? You have no idea when Kobe's going to be back, and even once he's back, how effective he's going to be.
Presumably, even if you believe that he's going to come back, maybe not literally day one at the beginning of next year, but if he's back in the first half of the season, it's reasonable to believe that he won't be at full strength until near the end.
Right. And you don't know how effective he's going to be leading up to that point, which means how good your team will be. You have no real relationship with Dwight Howard outside of just texting, but you've never coached him before.
Though it does make a difference that Dwight Howard, by many reports, wanted Phil Jackson as the coach. Which, by the way, is another reason not to dangle Phil out there when the guy that you want to be your franchise player wants him.
But you know who had always been curious about having Phil Jackson as a coach initially? Kobe. And that didn't work out so well in the beginning either. So my point is you don't know how the relationships are really going to play out. You don't know what's going to happen with Pau Gasol. Presumably, there's going to be some roster turnover. You're going to lose a lot of that continuity that's generally needed to win a championship. Phil is not really into fixer-uppers, and I think at this point, you can make a serious argument that the Lakers need an extra coat of paint, something like that.
Something.
What's the appeal if you're him?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you could talk, I mean, it's obviously the premier franchise. You come back and you get Kobe. Presumably, you get Dwight. You know, you know Kobe. You can believe Kobe if anybody's going to come back quickly and healthy from this. It would be him. You don't know, but you believe that. You know, you still have Pau Gasol or what they turned Pau Gasol into. Yeah, Steve Nash. Presumably, if he can heal, is a, you know, hopefully still a good point guard. Those are the pieces. I mean, here's another. I understand what you're saying. here's the other thing that was sort of floated. I thought it was interesting. I saw this Thursday morning. Roland Lazenby, a lot of people know him. Good basketball writer, has a long relationship with Tex Winter, a lot of insight into the Lakers, wrote a great book about the Lakers and the history of the team. I don't think this was sourced out stuff, and I don't think he was saying anything was going to happen, but he was just talking about the idea of maybe you can bring Phil back in that executive capacity where you give him the Pat Riley role, so to speak, and bring in a different guy. Somebody like Derek Fisher was the name he mentioned as sort of a hypothetical, and you work it that way. So Phil doesn't have to travel. He doesn't have to go through the grind. He doesn't have to do any of those things.
I picture him next
like.
Year, if he's the coach, doing a lot of it by Skype.
Yeah, I mean, and that's because that's the other thing. It's like once you get into it, it's no good. Right. Is he only going to do it for a year, and then you have to come with another coach? I mean, but, you know, the two-year window made a lot of sense. A one-year window makes less sense. But, you know, so maybe you could do it that way, where maybe, like, Fish is the coach, Phil is the guy who's in the front office, and you work it that way. The only problem with that, and this is something that Roland, in his opinion, thought, still actually he thought that there was a possibility that Jim Buss could accept it, is that Jim Buss would have to accept it. He would basically, I can't imagine Phil would come back without basically removing Jim Buss from all but yes or no on the most important decisions.
I don't feel like Jim Buss, that's something he would want to do. I mean, he's waited this long and, you know, worked in whatever capacity to get to the point where he and Chaz have had a lot of discussions about this team.
Gotten better over the years, but there's still a lot of...
But I'm never
going to
pass up an easy joke.
No, and nor should you. There are a lot of reasons to doubt the guy. There are a lot of reasons to doubt his pedigree. And, like, my problem with Jim has always been that the guy who writes the checks shouldn't be the guy deciding who gets them in that directed capacity. It never works in professional sports.
I have a hard time believing that everything that has led up to Jim Buss's career and life with the Lakers, everything that's led up to this point, and he's finally, you know, obviously he wasn't rooting for his father to die, but he is finally now in this position.
He's
been preparing for this moment and readying himself, and now is there, and then is just going to give it up to bring in Phil Jackson in a front office job that, you know, it's not going to go on indefinitely. I mean, at Phil's age, there's a ceiling to how long he's going to have this in the beginning. And then what does he do? Take back his old job? I mean, it's completely impractical. And one thing you know for sure is unless Jim gives up that title, there's no way he and Phil can work together in that capacity.
No,
they didn't get along when Phil was a coach and they barely crossed paths.
Right. And you wonder too, what would happen to Mitch, you know, what would his job be in that? I mean, it, you know, Phil and Mitch had a very good relationship and presumably still do. You wonder if Phil would want to undermine him in that way.
It just strikes me as completely unrealistic.
But I will say, if Jim Buss wants to do something, like we've talked about, like what could Kobe do not that Kobe needs image rehab in the same way that Jim Buss does, but if Kobe wanted to just put the most ultimate exclamation point on his career, he would play out $30 million for next year, come back the year. If he decided he wanted to play the year after that, he'd play for the minimum. I mean, he would be, if it's possible to be more a god than he already is in Los Angeles, he would be that guy. If Jim Buss wanted to prove to Laker fans that his best interest was the team, I'm not even talking about whether or not Phil would be a great executive or the hypothetical Derek Fisher thing would work as coach. But this would be that act. That would be the reason he'd want to do it, because it's probably the only thing he can do in the short term to make people think that he has the love of the team and the big picture understanding that his father did. That's probably the only reason he would do it, because everything else that you're talking about is the reason why he wouldn't. Every moment of his professional life, regardless of how hard we think he worked, I'm sure he thinks he's worked at it a long time. That's the reason.
We'll see.
I don't know where to go from there, but that's the reason.
It just feels, again, like a stretch, because if it was that important to him before, would have brought in Phil as the coach. He would have done all sorts of other things that make it feel... I mean, look, people can have epiphanies and changes of heart when circumstances change, and certainly these circumstances have drastically changed.
Oh yeah,
in the last year.
Again, you talk about Mike Brown, but it's like seeming like 1,000 years ago. It seems like 1,000 years ago that like Pau's first injury. It seems like Mike D'Antoni's first press conference seems like 1,000 years ago.
Steve Blake stepping on guardrails. I mean, it just feels
this season has been so incredibly long, and you know, everything's changed over and over and over again. And now, you know, Kobe's injury throws everything into doubt in the future. I mean, we thought we had a little bit of clarity coming into this year. Like, wow, look at what they did. They got Dwight Howard. They got Steve Nash. Picked up Antoine Jameson. And for 2 years, we got a window. And this is what it's going to look like. And it has not turned out that way. It's staggering how fast things can change.
If you want to make God, or in this case, the basketball gods, laugh.
One of Lamar Odom's favorite expressions.
Make plans.
Somebody who, speaking of making plans, Andy, if you wanted to make plans to go to Mars, you can do that. All it takes is a $38 application fee and a willingness
approximately the price of one cup of coffee for like 38 days.
Like half that if you're going to, like, double that or whatever it is. If you're going to Starbucks, that's like 10 days worth of coffee. All you need is a willingness to pay the application fee and never come back. Because once you fly to Mars on this Mars One mission where they're currently taking interest in applications and all these other things, once you go, you can never, ever return. It is a one-way ticket to Mars. Nobody's ever been to Mars, Andy. You could be a trailblazer. You'd be remembered as a hero for the rest of your life. Are you going to Mars?
No.
Okay.
And the reason I'm not going to Mars, Brian, is because I'm not a loser. I'm not a loser with no emotional attachments to family, friends, children, pets, whatever, somebody that is completely cut off from any type of emotional ties on this actual planet. I'm not somebody who has no job that he cares about or a career path that he doesn't care about. I'm not somebody who has zero interests, zero hobbies, anything that fulfills me on this planet, because I guarantee if you can check off any of the boxes that I just listed, you're not going to Mars for the rest of your life with no contact with anybody else. It's not going to happen. You are a loser, period, if you're doing this.
I mean, look, I mean, this is how much of it, this is much of an ending it is. This is according to CNN.com. CEO Baz Lansdorp of the Mars One company says it's likely that there will be a crematorium up there. It's up to the people on Mars to decide what to do with their dead. Again, they're, you know, the crematorium goes. So the part that gets me, and I'll tell you why you're wrong in just a second, but the part that gets me is, like, it'd be one thing if you were going somewhere really awesome. Like, you could go and you'd never come back. But
like that island paradise in the beach.
Something like that.
The book, The Beach, or the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right, a place where man, you know, or Jurassic Park, or something where you could see dinosaurs, you could see all these other things, and you would experience
that
things.
That didn't work out so hot.
That's true. You could experience things that no man had ever experienced, and you'd be able to be that kind of trailblazer, and you'd be somewhere kind of cool, but you just would never see your family again or whatever. Mars sucks. Mars is an unpleasant place. It's inhospitable to life. You're going to be living in a hut, like enclosed. You can never go outside and do all these other things. Mars is a bad place.
Again, only a loser with nothing going on would sign up for that,
Brian. Or a narcissist, Andy, because they're making a reality show out of this. And I can picture some guy.
Real Housewives of Mars?
Something like that. But there's going to be a reality show to pick the people, apparently. There's going to be a reality show once they get up there on the flights and all these other things. And I can picture some guy who is so into himself and the concept of being remembered forever, because, you know, people just love being famous now, saying, you know what, I just want my children to say, yeah, like, it'll be tough now, but I want my children to be like, yeah, my dad, he went for it. He's a guy who's a trailblazer. He's a landmark fellow. He thought big, and he went up to Mars.
Okay, first of all, what your child's actually going to say is, you know, instead of, you know, my dad went out for a pack of smokes and never came back, it's going to be my dad went to Mars and never came back. Your child is going to resent you for that.
It actually probably makes it worse that he could see you on TV.
Exactly. My child left me behind for a reality show on a different planet. Yeah, you think that kid's not going to be in therapy?
That would create daddy issues, of some sort.
And here's the other reason why you're still wrong, and that it has to be somebody who is a complete loser. Everybody, at some point, the way things are going, is going to end up on a reality show. That's just the way things are shaken out these days. The the identification, the definition of celebrity is just being diluted by the hour. Have you seen the cast of Dancing with the Stars?
It's getting weaker. It's definitely
Everybody,
getting weaker.
At some point, if you wait it out long enough with the family or friends or hobbies or whatever that you have that you love, you'll get
that show anyway.
I
appeared on Chloe and Lamar because when Lamar was still here, we had to sign waivers that would say,
yeah,
you know, where it's okay
so
to use our image.
We weren't even trying to.
But I saw myself
so
on
again,
that show.
Losers. By the way, though, for what's the name of this company?
It's the Mars One mission. Let me find it again. Mars One, Dutch company called Mars One.
They should know right away that any applications filled out for an M. D'Antoni, probably fake at this point. I'm going to go out on a limb and say those were written up by some angry Laker fans.
What
he doesn't really want to go to
what
Mars.
What space do you have for mustachioed basketball coaches?
There's an application for Pringles. It's fake.
No, just because you want to send him there doesn't mean he has to go. All right, so the Lakers, they're going to play Friday. They're going to give it their all. They're going to start Robert Sacre at point guard. I don't know what they're going to do. They will not be expecting it. San Antonio has not scouted that, so give it a try.
This is going to be so painful.
It's
literally and figuratively.
It is not going to end well. It will be, you know what, at this point, and I realize in L.A. we play for rings. We don't play for moral victories. If they take one of these two games, it says something about this group of guys going on the floor.
It really does,
and,
actually. You know, you are correct about that. All joking aside.
It is.
Or that Pop sat a bunch of guys.
Right. Can you imagine?
You know what? All joking aside.
No, he shouldn't. He should not do end the series early.
He can do that anyway.
He might be able to.
He doesn't play Tim Duncan. They might not be able to beat this team.
Just suit him up, play him. You might just let him, put him in uniform, play him for 15 minutes.
Put him in uniform.
Get the job done. But it would
that would really let you know just how much things have sunk.
Oh my god!
If Popovich's players
during the
playoffs.
Oh my goodness! But again, if they manage, you know, it is okay as a Laker fan to feel proud of your team for winning a game under these circumstances this weekend.
Whoever is left by the end of the series.
It's not going to be pretty.
It's going to be pow against five guys.
Soon we will be getting. We are still in the mortem part. We will get to the post mortem soon enough.
Thinking Sunday.
At Cam Brothers is the Twitter feed. Follow us there. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Andy, anything else?
No.
Tough day. Tough day Thursday.
Tough
we'll see everybody next time.
See ya.